Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph mentions a halacha that if there's a Beis Din, say there were three people, and two of them were certain about how to paskin, and the third one was not certain. So the lashon of the Gemara is Osin Beis Din Shakol Lechatchila, that we add on another two people for a total of four people who know, who we anticipate knowing what the halacha is, and the fifth person who has already told us that he's uncertain about the halacha. The Gemara proceeds to say, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Abahu in this? And it answers that you may have thought that the fifth person, if he says some sort of a svara, that we'd listen to him. And the chiddush is that because he says, I don't know what the halacha is, it's as if he doesn't exist. And if he says something, we don't listen to him. This is a very cryptic line, and it has ramifications that extend beyond the immediate sugya. It has ramifications that extend to a sugya later on in Daf Lamed Gimel. At this point, I want to explore only the local dimension of this statement. The Rashi over here says the following lashon. Says, if he says a reason, the Amar Taima, he explains, if he shows some reason, you know, to convict, and he also shows a reason to exonerate, and because therefore he's uncertain, so we don't listen to him. It's a lashon of Rashi. The lashon of Rashi is very cryptic, and it led to two divergent pshatim amongst the Achronim. The Rashash understands that what Rashi means to say is that if this person originally explained his position and said, the reason that I don't know how to paskin is because I have the following argument in favor and the following argument against, and therefore I'm not certain which argument gains the upper hand. Even so, even though he originally, let's say, explained the sides of his uncertainty, and now later on he comes back and says that he's more certain, that he's decided that for whatever reason that one of the arguments is superior to the other, we don't let him retract what he stated initially as being his position. He has to go with that from then on, and that's why it's as if he doesn't exist. The Marsha says a little bit of a different pshat in Rashi. The Marsha says that what Rashi means is as follows. There are two stages in the process of a Din Torah. One stage involves the debate between the different judges. Each judge can say whatever opinions or arguments he seems to find. And then the second stage is when the judges get together and they actually paskin on the case. And the Marsha says that let's say that at the first stage this judge gives an argument pro and an argument against, and then you may have thought that the only time that we can make a Beis Din Shakol Lechatchila, the only time that we can make a Beis Din that has an even number of members, is when we've taken the final vote about whether to convict or exonerate the defendant, and we ended up with a tie. So then we can add on another two people and make a Beis Din Shakol Lechatchila. However, when we only took a preliminary vote, an initial vote, a vote that followed the Maso Mata and the discussion, but without not a final vote about whether to convict or exonerate the defendant, perhaps then one would not allow them to take the final vote with the Beis Din Shakol Lechatchila. One would not allow them to be mosif an additional two dayanim and then to take the vote. But rather, we would require them to first take the final vote, and only if the final vote was tied to add on another two dayanim. To this, the Marsha says Rashi is coming to address. Rashi says, if the dayan says, I have a svara this way, and I have a svara that way, and this is basically his vote in the preliminary vote, Even so, even though we have not yet reached the final vote, and we don't know whether the final vote will be tied, Chiddush HaGemara is that the Chiddush HaGemara is that we are already able to add on another two Dayanim in this case. It's a parallel machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, which needs to be investigated more when we get later on in the Gemara, where the Ravid says that once a Dayan said he's uncertain, he doesn't know what the halacha is, he no longer is entitled to an opinion one way or another. And this seems to follow the reading of the Rashash in Rashi. However, the Rambam seems to say that a Dayan who voiced an opinion of that he's uncertain is permitted to retract and to say, now I've changed my mind and I've become certain. And presumably that's because he understood the Gemara's Chiddush in this somewhat limited sense. The Gemara means to say that that we're able to be Mosif Dayanim L'chadchila if somebody says that he's uncertain, and perhaps we do, even though he changes his mind later on, but that doesn't mean that he's not no longer entitled to an opinion if he makes up his mind later on. There's a third interesting machlokas that this may parallel to, another machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, wherein, and this hopefully we'll elaborate on later on, the Brisker Rav also talks about it, which is how many votes are there in general. The Ravid says that there's only one vote, only the final vote. Everything up until the final vote is only discussion. There's never a vote until the final vote. So it makes sense then, according to the Ravid, that this idea of voicing uncertainty must occur necessarily during the final vote, and therefore there's no way to say anything else. He's voiced his uncertainty in the final vote, and there's no other vote. He has no option of explaining the Gemara and saying that we add on two Dayanim for the final vote, even though there was uncertainty only in the preliminary vote. However, the Rambam holds, as we said earlier for the Marsha, that there are two distinct votes that are taken during the course of this Din Torah. There's a preliminary vote and a final vote. Therefore, perhaps the Rambam had the option open to him to explain this Gemara in terms of adding on two judges for the final vote and not taking away the right of this judge who voiced his uncertainty during the preliminary vote. The Ramah takes a position that is similar to that of the Ravid and that of the Rashash, and he has a number of questions. There's more that we can dwell on in the Shitas HaRamah, but I want to point out one or two questions. The Ramah says that we know later on that a Talmid, somebody who's sitting in one of the rows in front of the Beis Din, is not a member of the Beis Din. He's not a member of the Beis Din, but even so, he's entitled under two circumstances to voice an opinion, and that opinion is accepted and maybe even counts as part of the vote. And those circumstances are either if it's a capital case and he has a svara or an argument that would exonerate the defendant, that would absolve him of the death penalty, so then we accept him, we accept his argument and we count it towards the vote. And the second is even if he has an argument in favor of conviction, says the Ramah, but ordinarily we would tell him not, we would silence him, we'd kick him out before he's able to make such an argument. But if he blurted the argument out, without asking our permission, then once he's made the argument, if it's a good argument, we accept it. So the Ramah asks, why should this Dayan, who voiced his uncertainty, be any worse than a Talmud? Why should he be any worse than a Talmud? We say command the lisa, it's as if he doesn't exist. So that implies that we don't accept arguments at all. And why should it be as if he doesn't exist? It should be no worse than this Talmud, from whom we accept arguments to exonerate the defendant, and from whom we accept arguments blurted out even to convict the defendant. And because of this, the Ramah says, inachinami, that this judge is no worse than a Talmud. And if he argues in one of these two ways, either to exonerate or blurts out an argument to convict, then we accept his opinion. as we saw, the Tosfos argues on this, on Daf Lamed Gimel, and the Rashash's reading of Rashi argues on this, because the Rashash's reading of Rashi says that once he voiced his uncertainty, even if he explained the two arguments that underlie the uncertainty, he's not entitled to retract his opinion. Even, presumably, when that retraction would result in exonerating the defendant. And the Rashash says this explicitly. So I just wanted to explain what might be the svara of Rashi to answer up the question of the Ramah. And that svara relies on two premises, which I'll state very briefly. The first premise that Rashi might rely on is that there's a difference between somebody who was never a judge to begin with, and someone who was a judge but who was removed from the case. A person who was never a judge always has an opportunity to become a judge, but a person who once was fit, once was ra'oi, and then was nidcha, he was pushed aside, may not become ra'oi again. And there are other concepts in halakha where we have the same idea, that something which never reached the level has a capability of reaching that level, as opposed to something which reached the level, it reached the peak, the apex, and then it started going downhill again, that it's much harder to go uphill again. So that may be one svara, one premise of Rashi's shita. The second premise is, given that this judge is somebody who's not accepted, somebody who was there, he had the capability of shouldering responsibility and passing in the case, and he neglected to do so because he said he was uncertain. Perhaps, even if he gives an argument, which seems to be a logical argument, an argument that we would accept from a Talmud who's sitting in front of the Beis Din, but because the source of this argument, however logical it may sound, the source of this argument is somebody who is not capable or of voicing an accepted argument in Beis Din, therefore we disqualify the argument, we disqualify the logic because of its source. And I think that there's other examples in halakha about this as a sort of very imprecise mashal. I'll say that you can have two people who write a Sefer Torah. One of them is a Yirei Shemayim, and that Sefer Torah, you know, is kosher. And the second one is a Min, and whenever the Min has in mind, you know, writes the name of Hashem, he means for Avodah Zarah. So you have two Sefer Torah, and they look exactly alike, but the one that's written by the Yirei Shemayim is kosher. The one that's written by the Min, we burn. So again, you could have two separate arguments. If one of them comes, again, it's a very, very crude mashal, one of them comes from a Dayan, or from a Talmud even, who's ra'oi to become a Dayan, and that we accept, but if the argument comes from someone who was once a Dayan, and then, you know, is disqualified because he voiced uncertainty, so that argument, because it comes from, you know, a source that we can't accept arguments from, even though inherently the argument is logical, we'll still reject it.